Austin, Texas is in the midst of a social experiment. What happens to a city that used to rely on Uber and Lyft and now doesn't have either one? Both companies stopped operating in Austin in May after voters rejected a proposal that would have allowed Uber and Lyft to use their own background check systems for drivers instead of the fingerprints that are required by the city of Austin. So, nearly 2 months later, what's happened? Joining us now is Ryan Holiday. He's editor-at-large of the New York Observer and lives in Austin and joins us via Skype from there. Ryan, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So what's happened, and especially what's happened to businesses? Because I imagine a lot of people used to take Uber and Lyft to get out to the restaurants and bars.
The short answer is things just went back to how they were 2 years ago. So it can seem like nothing really changed. But in fact, once you've experienced sort of the ease of these networks, basically everything falls apart. So it's harder to get around. Traffic is deadlocked. Parking is basically impossible to find. And just this thing that has become a central part of the transportation habits of people all over the world now doesn't work basically in this singular city in the United States. It's a bit nuts.
I imagine the cab drivers and maybe some people at the city would listen to you say that and say, oh, come on, it's not that big of a difference.
Well, I guess you would ask yourself, why would the city be passing legislation that specifically benefits, you know, the 900 or so licensed cab drivers at the expense of the 10,000 everyday people who have managed to sort of create some way to monetize their vehicles and, you know, dramatically increase the flow and ease of use of navigating the city. And so it might seem like a minor thing, but it is in fact a major one. I caught myself the other day, my parents came into town and we were at dinner. It was my wife and my mother and my father. And I noticed that we took three cars to get there and we all circled the block multiple times to find a parking spot. We all paid to park. Meanwhile, this would have been a $4 Uber ride. And that's an unfortunate reality of this shift. And it stretches almost beyond capacity, a city that is already strapped in terms of infrastructure.
Another area where this is being felt, you write, is at the airport. Explain that.
Sure. So Austin has a relatively close airport with pretty cheap parking. But, you know, you used to be able to take Uber to the airport for $13-14, sometimes less than that. Obviously, I can only sort of speak to this anecdotally, but I drive and leave my car at the airport, whereas 2 months ago, I always took Uber and Lyft. And so now I'm paying whoever owns the parking lot at the airport instead of the stay-at-home mom who is making money on the side driving Uber and Lyft. And so, you know, taking a cab to the airport, which I did many times before Uber and Lyft came, was a nightmare, right? The idea that you would have to call a company and hope that they arrive at a certain time, and if they don't, you're going to miss your flight, just seems impossibly anachronistic in 2016, when we know there's an a wonderful alternative that you get to use in San Antonio or Houston or Dallas, but not Austin for some reason.
And what about the new ride-sharing startups that have popped up in Austin as a result of this decision? Are those not an option?
Well, I think it's interesting. So I travel a lot as a writer. And, you know, when I show up in Amsterdam, I call up an Uber. When I show up in Berlin, I'm using Uber or Lyft. When I go to New York or Los Angeles, these are the companies that I'm using. The idea that it is perfectly fine that when you show up in Austin, you have to be familiar with whoever our local alternatives are is, I think, absurd and unrealistic in this sort of globalized world. But, you know, again, when my parents come to town, they're not going to do that. They're just going to rent a car. So it has this sort of knockdown effect.
What about the issue of DUIs? This has been a fear that the numbers would show that there would be more DUIs without Uber and Lyft operating in Austin. What do we know?
Well, we know when Uber and Lyft came to Austin, DWIs went down. Austin is a party town. We've got all sorts of bars and music venues. And now that Uber and Lyft have left, well, we've just found that the arrests have gone up about 7%. That was a big point. People said, oh, no, these other ride sharing companies are going to step in and fill that niche. Well, that hasn't happened. Clearly, it has enacted a cost, and that cost has been more people driving drunk. And that's pretty scary.
So do you think that all of these things that you've talked about are going to lead policymakers to change their mind about Uber and Lyft?
Well, I hope so. I think the egos at the city council and the egos with Uber and Lyft have created this situation, and neither has been willing to back down. There's also potentially the hope that the state will intervene. This is really, I think, not an issue that should be decided city by city anyway. It affects the entire economy of Texas. It determines whether people are going to come here, whether they're going to host the X Games or concerts or big events in Austin, which, you know, impacts the entire economy. And so hopefully some clearer heads will intervene. But I honestly don't know. I don't have a ton of hope that, you know, the fact that it's gotten so far is alarming enough.
That's Ryan Holiday, who is an editor at large of the New York Observer and author of the book Ego is the Enemy. He lives in Austin, and as you can hear, he's not happy about the decision to let Uber and Lyft go. Ryan, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.